Things happen, some of which we enjoy, some of which we endure. Many times we suffer. Today we're looking at two women who had good times and they had some bad times. One of them is a mother. At first she was not. Another was never a mother. But they had similar experiences in principle. So we're going to look at this, at these. The first one we're going to look at is Anna. The second one is Hannah. Their names are the same, it's just that they're spelled a little bit different, and their one is Greek and the other is in Hebrew. But one's in the New Testament, one's in the Old. But they had similar experiences, as I said, in good times and in bad times. The passage that we're looking at in the New Testament is Luke chapter 2. It is the passage where, after Jesus was born, he was circumcised on the eighth day, and then on the 40th day after his birth, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, the infant, went to Jerusalem. That was 6 miles from Bethlehem for the purification ceremony, for Mary to be purified, and also to dedicate Jesus to the Lord. If you recall the passage, Simeon was in there, an elderly man who had received a promise that he was not going to die until he saw the hope of Israel, the Messiah. And he walked in there while they were there at the temple, and he recognized in the spirit that this was the Messiah. And he took the child in his arms, and he blessed him. He told a prophecy about him, and he also told a prophecy about Mary. But then we find in verse 36, there was another person in that temple. And it says in verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow, and now there's a discrepancy here, it could be she lived as a widow until she was 84 years old, but it's also possible, a possible translation that I uphold, or I adhere to, and that is, she was a widow for 84 years. That's a legitimate translation. Several commentaries, commentary writers have agreed with that, not all of them. But at any rate, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God, continued to speak of him to all those who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks for who you are. We want to thank you again for your word and what it teaches us. We want to thank you for Anna, Aunt Hannah, but Anna here, where she was following you, and she, even though she was by herself as far as family is concerned, she never walked alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, we find that Anna never walked alone. Anna was advanced in years. She's, I figure, approximately 106 years old. That meant that she was born around 112 BC. She was married at probably about the age of 15. That would be 97 BC. She was married for just 7 years when her husband died when she was about 22. That would be 90 BC. And she had been a widow for 84 years. That's my understanding. And that meant it's 6 BC. We do know that Jesus was not born at 0 AD or 0 BC. He was born around 6 BC. Why? Because we know the year that Herod died was 4 BC. And we also know that it was at least 2 years earlier is when he found out that Jesus or the child was born, so he put to death in Bethlehem all the young boys from 2 years old and under. So we know that Jesus was born around 6 BC, and so this is approximately that time. Anna was a widow for 84 years. She experienced good times. She was born at a time when the Jews ruled Judea. This was not always the case. You know, the Assyrians overran them, the Babylonians overran them, the Medes and the Persians ruled, and then there was Alexander the Great, and then his Antiochus Epiphanes and was persecuting, and that's caused the Maccabean revolt. And that revolt ended up where the Jews were ruling Judea again. And these descendants of the Maccabees, they were called Hasmoneans, the descendants of the Maccabees ruled Judea from 140 to 63 BC. So she was born during this time. There was a good times. The fact that the Jews were ruling Judea brought much of the ancient land back under Jewish control. It was a time of great national patriotism and a return to the true Jehovah worship. And there was no persecution of Jews during this time. Not unlike the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks. There was no persecution at the time of her birth or a time if she was living here. She was married to a wonderful godly man. So that was an indication that she'd experienced good times. And we'd enjoy the good times. We like the good times. But bad times come. And she experienced bad times. Her husband died when she was about 22. She understood grief, just like many of you, understood grief. She understood a broken heart. She understood broken dreams. She was a woman who experienced life, good and bad, and yet she walked with God. She also understood widowhood. She understood the loneliness. She understood the misunderstanding, the lack of influence and importance in society, understanding that there were some temptations and trials that widows experienced that women who are married do not, in advances, unwanted advances and things like that. But she chose not to marry again. And she understood childlessness. Says she was the daughter of Phanuel. It suggests that after her husband died, she moved back to her father's home. Well, by now, of course, her father has died. So she has no family, no children, no parents. Doesn't say anything about brothers or sisters. So Anna had some bad times. And also during this time that she lived, her nation was overrun by the Romans. When she was 49 years old. The Roman general Pompey overran the land in 63 BC. His mechanical engines and battering rams pummeled the temple with stones. After a three-month siege, he conquered Jerusalem, he seized the temple, and he entered the Holy of Holies. He polluted their most sacred place where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was a terrible time. For them. So she experienced bad times. And yet, in spite of it all, Anna was faithful to God. She was a prophetess, she says. She was at a time when God seemed silent. She still heard him speak. Do you hear him speak? Are you listening to God at times and you take the time to be quiet, seeking his face? Have you heard him speak? Sometimes I get the impression when God wakes me up in the middle of the night, I don't want to get up. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and something's on my mind. And if I'm wise, I will get up, ask God to show me something, and I start reading in the Bible. And many times, something has come up from that God has spoken to me about that has taken maybe 2 or 3 years later happens. And he let me know. She was a prophetess. She heard God speak. In an era of change, turmoil, and national and personal tragedy, she trusted in a sovereign God. There's a lot of hurt that goes on, and many times Satan uses that hurt to make us turn away from God. Don't do it. Hurt will come. Personal tragedy, national tragedy, came to her in her lifetime, and she didn't abandon God. There's the temptation to do so. Well, if God could have stopped this, then I'm not going to serve that God. Be careful. God is not the responsibility, is not responsible for all the sin of the people. And that harshness and hardness and hurt and tragedy is often because of sin. God didn't cause it. He gave free will. And he allows things like that to happen. Yes, he could stop it, but then that would stop the free will. God wants us to have free will. He chose, and by the way, God is a just God. He brings it about. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Anna chose to believe that God would keep his promises. She encouraged all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna was faithful to God. She also chose to be close to the Lord. It says, she departed not from the temple, but she served God day and night with fasting and prayers. She departed not from the temple. In many ways, she was a fixture there. And I can just visualize, she had a reputation of fasting and praying for people, praying for situations, praying to the Lord. And I can visualize a young woman in distress coming to the temple. She's looking for somebody to comfort her, and she sees Anna, and she knows Anna. It's not been the first time she's seen her, so she comes up to her and talks to her and shares her burden, and Anna gives her comfort, and she starts praying for the woman. And the next time she sees her, maybe 6 months, maybe another one of the Jewish festivals in Jerusalem, Passover, Pentecost, or Tabernacles. 6 months later, maybe a year later, she sees this woman come in and the prayers have been answered. I believe this was a woman of God who prayed for other people. And this happened time and time again. I'm personally convinced she felt a ministry there and she felt fulfilled. She chose to be close to the Lord. She served him every day and night in prayer, and she served him with fastings and prayer. And as a result, God honored her. We see at that very moment she came at the right time. She was at the right place at the right time when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple. She happened to be at the right place. God arranged her circumstances, just like God can arrange your circumstances and my circumstances, to be at the right place at the right time. And she was given insight as to who Jesus was. She walked right in. Maybe she overheard Simeon saying about talking about the Messiah. Maybe she didn't, but all of a sudden she was there and she saw the Messiah. He was there. And so she was given insight and she saw Jesus. So God honored her, but then she honored God. Notice what happened. She began to give thanks to God. She served him by being grateful for his mercy and his faithfulness. She gave thanks to God and encouraging us to be thankful, to give thanks to God. And then she served him by telling others about the Lord. That's what it says. And continued. It wasn't a one-time thing. She continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Keep the faith, folks, she said. Keep the faith. I saw the Messiah. Keep the faith. Don't let all these bad things that are happening discourage you. The Messiah is here. I don't know if she used those words, but she gave encouragement. The next woman we're looking at is Hannah. Anna, a woman of God, never walked alone. And now we're looking at another woman in Samuel. Now, Samuel is book that is written about David primarily, but it starts off with a negative type of situation. I'm reading here from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man, and he had named Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. When the days when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninna, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, that is Peninnah, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am not I better to you than 10 sons?" I want you to know, Hannah was very kind to Elkanah. If she spoke the truth and she was hurting so badly, she'd have said, "No, you're not better than 10 sons." But instead, she said nothing. But she did go talk to God. I believe that Hannah lived from about, or was born about 1112. That would be 1112 BC. If my calculations for Anna are correct, and for Hannah are correct, Hannah was born 1,000 years before Anna, because Anna was born around 112 from my calculations. So that's kind of interesting. Now, she married probably around the age of 15, and she was childless, so her husband had married another woman. This was legal back then. And Hannah was childless for several years. She did experience some good times, just like Anna did. She was married to a godly man who loved her. She had great hopes for the future when they married. And then she experienced some bad times. Because she was childless, her husband married another woman, Peninnah. Now, Hannah also, like Anna, understood grief, a broken heart and broken dreams. She understood childlessness, misunderstanding, lack of influence or importance to society or importance to your own family. That's why Peninnah had it over her. "I am important because I have children. You don't." And she understood something else. She understood harassment and persecution. Along with that came loneliness. And she was caught in a situation that she could not solve or leave. She was in a box. Have you ever been in a box? Where you can't seem to get out, can't find a solution. It's a tough situation. The only one I know of that when you're in a box like that is you go to God. He has box openers. And she was faithful to God, as was Anna. And I'm convinced personally that for at least a few moments, Hannah was also a prophetess. We know that Anna was. The Bible states that. But I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this is after she has conceived, after she's had Samuel, her firstborn son, and she's now dedicated, she's fulfilling her promise. She dedicated her son, after she weaned him, for the rest of his life to be servant of the Lord in the tabernacle. She promised he would serve the Lord all his life if God would give her a son. Well, God gave her a son. She fulfilled her promise to God. And when she did, the day that she dedicated Samuel, she brought him to Eli the priest, dedicated him to the Lord to serve in the tabernacle, she broke out in praise, not grief. "Oh, my poor son, I'm not going to see him for another year or so." No, she broke out in praise to God. First 10 verses of chapter 2. And the 10th verse, I'm going to focus upon that. It says this. This is what she's saying. "Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth." And notice this. "He will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed." Who is God's King. It's the Messiah, Jesus. This is prophecy that he's going to give strength to this Messiah. Now, why I say Messiah in verse, that's the last phrase of that verse, he will exalt the horn of his anointed. You know what the word anointed is in Hebrew? It's Messiah. He will exalt the horn of his Messiah. This is the first time that the word Messiah is mentioned in the Hebrew Bible. And so she is a prophetess. She's saying God's going to strengthen his king, and he's going to exalt the horn that would be the kingdom, the power of his Messiah. So she too was a prophetess. She was faithful to God. She was kind to her husband, who didn't understand. And sometimes we guys don't understand the workings of the ladies. She cried out to God, who was the only one who did understand her situation. You think nobody understands you? Sometimes that's true, but God does, and you don't walk alone when you're walking with God. In a time when God was often silent, she still heard him speak, just like Anna. In an era of change and moral and spiritual decline, she trusted in the sovereign God. She chose to believe that God heard her and answered her prayer. God does hear your prayers. He does. And God honored her. She conceived and bore Samuel, which means asked of God. She conceived and bore 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. So God honored her, and then she honored God, just like Anna. She taught Samuel about Jehovah until he was weaned, and with that foundation, he lived and served God the rest of his life. She dedicated Samuel to serve in the tabernacle day and night. Remember that Anna served the Lord day and night in the temple. She praised and honored the Lord in thanksgiving, as we saw in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The child Samuel served as a priest and judge during the transition of the nation from the theocracy of the judges ruling under God's direction to a monarchy where the kings ruled under God's direction. And the child Jesus grew up to be Savior, who will transition the kingdoms of this world into the messianic kingdom in which he will rule. There are some parallels here I think you'd enjoyed. That's why I brought them to you. But the key point is this. Women of God, whether in the Old Testament or New Testament, or in our current age today, women of God never walk alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for all the ladies, young and older. We ask God that they might sense your presence every day. May we all do that, but especially the women. May they sense your presence, that they never walk alone. They can always come to you. They can enjoy the good times, but with you, they can endure the bad times, and you'll see them through and honor them and bless them. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.